Good morning, Audioboo. It is... I really should think of the date before I actually say it is. It is Thursday, the 27th of March, which is incredible. Good morning, Vance. I hope you don't mind if I talk whilst I'm getting ready, feeding the dog and that sort of thing. It just sort of helps sometimes. If I can try a little bit of multitasking, I'm not brilliant at it, but we'll give it a go. I've been wanting to respond to Claire Randall's post on mainstream and specialist education, as I have my perspective, I think, is I'm sure there are others out there on Audioboo who have a similar one, but I think it's somewhat different. You know, a lot of people who have either been through the mainstream system the whole way, or they've been through specialist education the whole way, but few people, I think, have seen it from three different sides. So I want to... Hello, Vance. You're getting very excited. Are you looking forward to your breakfast today? Yes. Yes, is that a yes? Big doggy. All right. Good boy. Good boy. Didn't get quite enough in the can the first time. There we go. Right. So I wanted to come on and talk about that. I had intended to sort of plan out what I was going to say, but I haven't done that. So apologies if this is waffly. Apologies if I have to sort of clarify what I'm trying to say. It's not the easiest of topics. It's one which I think can be quite emotive at times. That's partly why I haven't talked about it earlier on in the week. Claire posted her message last Friday, I think, and it's taken till now for me to come back. I just haven't really felt like talking about these sorts of things. Here we go, Vance. Here's your breakfast. Gobble, 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 gobble. Good boy. So, where am I coming from on this? Well, a little bit of history of Robert, I suppose, first. I was diagnosed with a visual impairment when I was about 3 and a half. And so, you know, a relatively short time before I would be starting primary school, at a month or so before I turned 5. I'm just trying to find, there was a little jug here for filling up the kettle, not the kettle, the iron even. There we go. My parents, I think, because the diagnosis was still fairly fresh, although they had known for a long time, I think, that there was something wrong, and they'd pushed very hard in order to get the however hard I try to pour this in the hole, it always spills down the side. They had tried very hard to get proper medical care. So they'd known for a long time, but the diagnosis itself, I suppose, was fairly recent. And they were very, very keen that I should be educated with my peers, and I don't know if thought is quite the right word, especially sort of compared to later on, but they were very insistent that I should be schooled at my local school. It was a village school with about 120 pupils, I would be provided with teaching assistant, I don't know, whatever we call such people, seems to change every other week, but provided with a teaching assistant to support me. And and that went, I think, reasonably well for quite a while. You know, I had sighted friends in the same way that anybody else would do. What have I done with that shirt? I have got a shirt around here somewhere. I hope I have. Oh, there it is. Whew. Visions of having to go to work without a shirt. Maybe not a vision that you'd like to imagine. It worked fairly well for a time, although there were difficulties as time progressed and the teaching assistant's time was shared out with other people. I remember actually the first time that I really had contact with other visually impaired people. It would really... Have I turned the iron on? Yes, I have turned the iron on. Idiot. What I need to do... I can't remember what I've done. Let's try that. Yeah, the first time that I really met other visually impaired people, I was, I think, about 9 or 10, and a sort of conference was called for parents, families of visually impaired people in East Sussex. It was down in Seaford, I remember, teacher for the visually impaired from the Local Education Authority was there, and that was the first time. I mean, I remember, I don't really remember much of what was talked about. I suppose I was fairly young, but I just remember this sort of overwhelming fear afterwards, I suppose. I think a lot of the talk had been on transition and that sort of thing, and I think, first of all, just meeting, knowing of other visually impaired people, many with far worse sight than me, and then thinking of the big subjects of what happens next, was all a little bit too much. Little did we know what a battle the next bit would be. I don't know if anybody particularly had suggested it, whether it had come out of this meeting or whatever it was, but we took the view, and I say we because my parents always took my view on things as being very important, and so we had the view that actually, whilst some aspects of the support that I'd received in primary school had worked, other things had been more difficult in terms of sort of keeping up on certain subjects, I think, and on getting the support that I needed, which wasn't always forthcoming, as I say, towards the end. We thought that specialist education might be the answer. So we went and looked at Dalton House near Sevenoaks and at New College Worcester. And the two have quite different application procedures and things. And in order to even be considered for Worcester at the time, we understood at least that you had to have the support of your local education authority. And mine, East Sussex, had a general rule of not supporting specialist education. So that was a bit of a non-starter. So I think we decided that we would push for Dalton House. Ended up in dispute with the LEA. I won't go into the details of it, even if I could remember them all. But the long and the short of it was I was out of school for 3 months at the transition point. And I ended up going to a school in St. Leonard's. It was called Filsham Valley School at the time, which was a mainstream school. It was a pretty well brand new school. My year was only the second in there. It was a mainstream school, but it had a special needs centre, so sort of additional provision for children, particularly with physical and sensory additional needs, including providing additional support in lessons and that sort of thing, and more specialist help like personal, social, emotional education, I think specifically for the disabled pupils. And again, I think things started okay, but having the right level of support became a real issue. Being able to access everything, access all the information needed, became an issue. And also, I suppose, actually, this idea, and this is an idea that I maybe I'll come back to later, but that I have real issue with, this idea that having disabled children in a school is good for the non-disabled children because it teaches them to get on with everybody. And I'm afraid that's not my experience. The school wouldn't agree, but bullying was ever present. Starting with pretty low level bullying, but still, it builds up, and you know, things like lights being switched off, or when you go into rooms, or people sort of challenging your sight. And later on, the school, because of it was built to be accessible, it had a lift which disabled pupils could use with a key, and that became a point of bullying. I'm realising now, talking about this, although the sort of emotion from it is very sort of deep rooted in me, actually my memory of it has faded quite a bit. I think I really had to push it from my mind in the end. For a time, I felt sick every time I went near the school, even for years afterwards. I've had to move on. So I think we had quite a few difficult statement reviews. I was obviously a statement to pupil. We had a, particularly after the first transition, we had a poor relationship with the local education authority. There are certain things like I was never properly taught to type until I think it was my final year. They finally relented and did it, and I think by then I'd pretty much developed my own style anyway, through having had a laptop for some time at school. I can't remember whether I've done the other sleeve. I'm going to do it again. My ironing's so good, you see, that you can tell straight away. Not. So I think we just felt that I really just wasn't getting what I needed, and it gave us a certain amount of fear for the future, because I was an intelligent pupil. I was online for reasonable GCSEs, but And so I think, whilst my parents didn't know that in the future I'd gone to university, I think there was hope that I would be clever enough to do it, and that the and that I just needed the right set of circumstances. I needed the support to be there. I've just read actually a really good piece by Imi Godwin. I can't for the life of me remember what her name on Audioboo is, but she's written a blog post on her first term as was at Blind College. She hasn't named the college on there, so I won't name it. She talks on there about how when you're there, the visual impairment isn't the issue. At mainstream school, visual impairment is very much the issue. It's about fighting to get the support that you need, having materials in the right kind, having access at all to certain things. So, you know, I didn't do PE from, I think, year 8 onwards, possibly, which the only replacement for a time was a once a week trip to the local swimming pool, not proper swimming lessons, just a sort of put all disabled people with children in the swimming pool, and eventually after splashing about for a while they will have exercised themselves. This was something that my mum was very unhappy about as a PE teacher, originally a PE teacher at least. I think we just feared that I wouldn't get the education I needed if I stayed there at sixth form. So we went and looked at RNC, Hereford Royal National College for the Blind. It sort of instantly fell in love with it in terms of the student or learner-centred approach. I hate this term, learner, but anyway, learner-centred approach, the ability to have mobility and independence alongside the academic subjects that I would be able to do my A-levels there. And that they had a reasonable track record on students going on to university. But my pastoral needs would also be catered for, and I'd be able to sort of increase my independence and that sort of thing. And we felt that actually, in order to go on to university, I needed a lot more than just my A-levels. I needed the ability to stand on my own two feet, and that's something that my original school wasn't going to provide, regardless of the quality of the education, the quality of the support. I have to say the school, Filton Valley, struggled somewhat in that the area in which it sits is one of the less well-off parts of the South. And it had a lot of pupils who either didn't want to learn or had additional learning needs that weren't necessarily to do with physical or sensory disabilities. Why is there a shirt on the floor? That's not good. Oh. Is it clean? Possibly. And so a lot of the, it'd be a familiar story to many people, but a lot of the teachers' time was spent controlling classes rather than teaching them. The GCSE A to C pass rate started somewhere around 50% and slid endlessly until, I think, in the end, a long time after I was there, it ended up in special measures. And has since changed name because that solves everything. Anyway, so then began the battle for going on to specialist education. We thankfully had the support of a very good careers advisor, and we used the point of needing the additional support, the living skills and the mobility, which I just wouldn't be able to have to that level if I stayed in mainstream. And after a heck of a lot of work and a lot of worry, we got there. And so I went to Hereford at the, well, I suppose just before I, just before I turned 16. I suppose it must have been. No, it must have just been before I turned 17. Yeah, just before I turned 17. I can't count. And my experience there was that educationally it was good. Small classes, really, really small classes, very good standard of teaching, really sort of interested me in my subjects, and I did well. But the sort of more tricky side for me was, and I should also say that the mobility and living skills were useful. I think the main thing that the living skills stuff gave me was some confidence in like doing stuff in the kitchen. I didn't necessarily agree with the methods that they used. You know, they were very much for using tinned vegetables and tinned meat and whatever. And, I wanted to cook stuff fresh, and as I tend to now. And I think that was quite a frustration for me. And the other thing that was really very, very good for me was just living away from home and being fairly independently minded as I am. I probably built my independence more by myself than anything else by going. In my first year, I used to take myself off on Saturday mornings and go and have day trips to places, literally go and get a train to somewhere, have a walk around, and come back again. And I had trips all over the place. I started off with fairly local ones. I went to Ludlow and Ledbury and Shrewsbury. And then I started getting more adventurous and went to Chester and Aberystwyth and Bristol and Oxford, and eventually a day trip all the way down to Tynmouth and Dawlish and Exeter. It's a very long way. In fact, I remember walking along the bit of sea wall that I think collapsed fairly recently. That sort of thing taught me to get on and do stuff myself. And I used to go shopping once a week and get sweet things and apples and stuff to see me through the week, because I really struggled with the food at Hereford. I hadn't really had school dinners through the previous time, so it was quite a new thing for me. Just going to take a couple of tablets. And what was I just saying? I can't remember the point I was making. Maybe I made it. The more tricky things for me at Hereford were socially, I didn't really get on brilliantly with a lot of the students there. I think some of them were, I think many had a different focus, and you know, mine was very much on getting my A-levels, and I didn't go out partying. I didn't go up to the bar. Who'd believe that, me not going to a bar? I didn't go on visits other than those that were subject related. So we had some really good English trips to my English group out to Stratford-upon-Avon. Had a brilliant English lecturer, Mary Graff, who's sadly died now, who was also my second year at least, was my form tutor, personal tutor, whatever you want to call it. So we had some really good trips out to see various plays and things. But the sort of much promised visits to, you know, trips out to concerts or to other leisure activities never materialised. I think there were certainly frustrations being there, and not experiencing those bits. But I still look back on my time at Filsham and shudder to a degree now. I look back on my time at Hereford with quite a lot of fondness. You know, I got the A-levels that I needed in order to go on to a good university, University of York, and I got sufficient independent skills that I could look after myself, and I'm still alive now, so that's got to be good, hasn't it? I suppose that's probably actually the main aspects of it. So that's a really long, wittery way of taking you through my history. So I didn't expect it to take quite so long. So my thoughts on specialist and mainstream education. First of all, I'm very much pro-choice. Choice for the family of, and specifically, the disabled child themselves. Even at 9 or 10, you can know what you need. I think there needs to be a much greater emphasis on hearing the child and understanding what they want and need and where they want to go, and of providing an education which is appropriate for that. I should say that at the time when I was transitioning from primary to secondary school, there was no choice at all. The LEA legally could say, this is the school that you're going to. That's what they tried doing, and that's why they basically just tried sending me to the nearest local comprehensive. Despite the fact that the school wasn't even sure that they could cope with my needs. And subsequently tried various other places. Funnily enough, never mentioning Filsham until a local councillor got involved. So I think choice at all stages is important. I know there isn't a bottomless budget for doing things, but equally, many families and children, I think, probably wouldn't choose specialist education. I think there probably would be a balance there. The next thing I'd say is that I really detest, it's not too strong a word, I really detest this idea that disabled children should be used as a teaching aid or a development aid for non-disabled children. You know, why should my education, why should the education of other visually impaired children be dependent upon a need to teach other children that disabled people are the same as them and that that everybody should be treated the same and whatever. It doesn't work. It's being in mainstream education pulls out the reasons why you are different. It doesn't it doesn't emphasise the things that mean that you're all the same. You know, having the additional support in a lesson, being ferried to and from school by taxi, being excluded from PE lessons, having obvious additional needs in certain places, you know, with the need for light, additional light and that sort of thing at times. And it just, and also, I mean, just living apart as well, because I was travelling 15 miles to each way to my school, that marks you out as being very different. And difference isn't accepted at that age by children. And so I just feel that it is wholly unfair and wrong to take this view that putting disabled children into a mainstream environment is an aid to social cohesion, I suppose, and an understanding of each other in the future. I think the third thing is that at least at that time, there was a labelling approach to satisfying the needs of disabled children. You have X condition, therefore you will need this support, rather than looking at the child's needs specifically. Sorry, I need to calm down a bit. So the attitude be taken that because on paper I had, first of all, I think, you know, they were calling it cone rod dystrophy, then I needed a certain amount of support. And then when they started using RP as a label, as a sort of umbrella condition, it was suddenly, oh, we didn't realise that Robert's sight was so severe, you know. Is this really true? Because I need additional support and whatever. It's just nonsense. Others have suggested to me that I should have learnt Braille. I think I certainly should have had typing at a much, much earlier stage, preferably the end of primary school. Such an important skill. That's taken for granted now. It was probably taken for granted by many people then, but I didn't have it for a very, very long time, not till year 11. I think the stuff on Braille was more difficult. I'm not sure whether at that time I would have been in favour of doing it. What really wasn't appropriate was a particular teacher of the visually impaired trying to give me handwriting lessons in either year 10 or 11, which is just pointless. I can't think. The only time I ever write things now is to sign greetings cards. And I had handwritten all the way through primary school. So it wasn't that I couldn't write or anything, but it wasn't neat enough. I needed to form my letters correctly, you see. So I think that is another problem with mainstream education. And naturally, as I can't remember who said, maybe it was Claire, that you end up being polarised, the disabled and mainstream pupils being polarised between their respective groups. So I socialised only really with other disabled pupils, latterly only really visually impaired pupils, of which there weren't that many. There were a small number of mainstream non-disabled pupils who towards the end were friends with us and did things together and were very supportive and tended to sit with them in each of all lessons and I think educationally were at a intellectually educationally were at a sort of similar level. Oh, hello, Vance. You don't want to do that when I'm carrying a knife, I have to say, Vance. But for the main part, there was that polarisation. I'm just going to check how long's left on this recording, because I'm conscious that I have whittled on for absolutely ages. Pause recording. 7:45. Time remaining. 7:45. As you can hear, 7:45. Okay. The next thing, I suppose, was the support, which early on was reasonable. But it became much more difficult. The school, I think, although the focus was initially on integrating children with physical and sensory needs, it became the sort of school of choice, if you will, if choice, well, I suppose, for non-statement of pupils, it did exist. So for children with learning disabilities or intellectual disabilities and various different things, and the support ended up being very much stretched, and the ratio was reduced or increased. I don't know which way round you meant to say it. Anyway, basically there were fewer staff for more pupils. And our relationship with the school became, well, hang on, I've already talked about that bit, haven't I? I'm not on the biography bit anymore. Talked about that. Oh, hang on a moment. What am I trying to think about? So that was, sorry, I'm really wishing. Let's just pause a second and take a deep breath. I'll work out what I want to say in the final 6 minutes of this boo. I'm back. I've had my breakfast. I'm going to sit down instead of walking up and down and try and concentrate on finishing this off. I'm sorry it's been such a rambling boo and a bit of an incoherent. Well, not really an argument at all. But anyway, another factor I've just thought about, another issue with secondary school was the unavailability, I suppose I've already touched on it a bit, but the lack of the availability of things in the right format, of things having to be blown up on the photocopier when needed or whatever, of just not being able to access everything that needed to be accessed. And it becomes very tiring after a time when you just want to learn. You just want to get on with things. And as I said earlier on, you're just being constantly reminded of your visual impairment. The plus sides of mainstream education were, I think, well, a big plus was that I got to remain with my family, and I don't think that's something that should be underestimated. I know, I mean, Claire talked about it, others, I know, I've struggled with this, but I've been very lucky. I have a very supportive family who I lived with until I was almost 17, and being there every night when I went home helped me get through that time, enabled me to get through that time. I think there are benefits to being in an environment in which you will be living in the future. The kind of habits that some people pick up, blindisms, if you will, that some people pick up when in specialist education wouldn't be tolerated in a mainstream environment. And I think in some ways you are more resourceful, or resourceful in a different way at least, because you're used to either making do or to finding different ways around things. You are used to seeing the place of your visual impairment within the context of a mainstream world. I'm going to run out of time. I might have to go on to a second boo. Sorry. So, it's difficult this actually, because I think I've got such a sort of strong feeling inside me that was such a difficult time. That I haven't really thought about the positives, and I feel like I'm being a little bit unjust in moving on without really considering what were the positive bits. In the early days at secondary school, the standard of the education was good. Because it was a new school, we had new, very young teachers. I'm probably older than some of them now. That's slightly scary. Older than most of them, I would have thought. And that was good. I think there were some very positive things about being in mainstream, but I think the disadvantages are really quite considerable. And I think it depends on the child, and it depends on the point of their education. So at primary school, I think that was undoubtedly the right thing for me to do, to go to a mainstream primary school. And regardless of how things worked or didn't work towards the end of my time there, it meant that I was grounded in the sort of local community of children. I played like a normal child. I had a very normal, unvisually impaired life when I was at primary school. As I say, I didn't really have contact with anybody else who was visually impaired. I don't think the question of my disability came up that often until things started becoming more difficult on the support side, and on our relationship with the LEA and the school, from sort of the junior period onwards. Time remaining. 0:09. I'm about to run out of time. I will go on to another boo It will be short, though, I promise. I'll try my best. See you soon.